So every week on Sunday morning, particularly, I ask God, what's the word for the church? And God's usually given me that word, you know, a couple weeks in advance, maybe a week in advance, sometimes just a day in advance. Sometimes I get here and God says, nope, that ain't it. I say, but God, I've got a beautiful PowerPoint. You know me, I like to get it up on the screen so you can hear it, see it, speak it, and we're going to retain some of it. If we can just retain some of it. Let's say that. Retain some of it. Makes me feel good when, as a teacher, if I can teach somebody something, you go away applying your faith in some aspect. So every week, God, I told you this, God, he just confirms the word. He tells me what to speak, and then I'm almost there. You know, I just need to know what God wants me to be the conduit to share with you. And so God told me, I want you to encourage them in the ministry of encouragement. So we all need encouragement. But I'm believing in the last days, because the world's so desperately looking for leadership, and I've been talking to you about leadership for a few months now, that leadership as the body of Christ is to rise up as the light of the world, to show the glory of God. And that glory of God makes you confident, gives you authority in the name of Jesus. It makes you shine and stand out as a people that have it together, and to be a voice of encouragement to people around you, not to condemn or criticize people. God's already put a mechanism in everybody called your conscience that will call you to understanding that if you're living in sin, or there's a barrier between you and God. So we're not called to be judgmental on people, but we're called to be redemptive and to lead people to a place of repentance and forgiveness of their sins. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance, not being critical. So I'm really praying that in the last days, the remnant church is going to rise up in more leadership, more spirituality, more righteousness, but to carry this gospel in a redemptive way. So I got a confirmation on this message on Wednesday night. You know, we had a wonderful service here with the Brock family, who we sent from this church out into the world to have a traveling ministry with their family. And they come back periodically. And what a wonderful spirit-filled time of worship and ministry that we had Wednesday night. Well, Jeanette and I, we took them out to dinner with a bunch of other people on Wednesday night after the service to Applebee's. And I go into Applebee's a lot. Some of you know I like Applebee's. And so I know everybody there. They know me. But we walked through the door. Jeanette and I walked through the door, and there's a new waiter there that I didn't know. And he said, hey, I know you guys. I know you guys. He said, I know you, but you don't know me. He said, but I watch your podcast every day, and that word of encouragement. He said, and you saved my life. You got me through a really difficult place. And he's just way over the top, you know, giving us the report about this fact that, yeah, that he had an operation literally on his brain for epilepsy, and they removed a part of his brain for epilepsy and seizures and all this. And every day, he said, and even at your home on Saturdays for Shabbat, you know, we always say Shabbat Shalom and do it from our home on Saturdays. And he was just so blessed. And he said it was a big encouragement to him in a difficult time. So I said, praise the Lord. What a blessing. And now I want to talk to you about encouragement. Give me the screens. For the last couple months, I've been taking you to Nehemiah for leadership lessons in the book of Nehemiah. Remember, Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. The walls of Jerusalem, a formidable task. I mean, 2.5 miles of 40-foot-high walls, 12 gates, 34 towers. I mean, the walls were in shambles, and Nehemiah orchestrated the body of Christ, the people, the families, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. How did he do that? Well, he really knew how to encourage people. He had the ministry of encouragement. And I believe that that kind of ministry is so needed in the world today and in the body of Christ. In Nehemiah 4:14, in the midst of all the enemy's attacks and threats on their work detail, Nehemiah said, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." In other words, fight for your family. Let me tell you, that's one thing that motivates all of us. Fight for your family. I remember with my siblings growing up, you know, my brothers, you know, we fought a lot, me and my closest brother particularly. And we laugh about it now, but yeah, we fought. I mean, we're talking hand-to-hand combat, okay? But don't let anybody else mess with my brother, you know, or my sister. You know, we're family. Fight for your families. And we need to fight for our relationship as the body of Christ, because this is who God's going to use in these last days. We are the spirit of Elijah, like God used Elijah as the forerunner of Christ's first return or first coming. He's using the body of Christ as the forerunner of his second coming. But that ministry of encouragement is so appropriate for us because we're people of faith. And beyond what we can see or feel or touch or understand with our natural senses, we're speaking the word of God. Amen? Yes. We're speaking by faith. And that's the power of God. So since COVID started 2.5 years ago, I started doing these daily words of encouragement. At the time, I was concerned about so many people staying home from church that I thought, you know, I'm going to take church to them. And started doing a 5 to 8 minute podcast. But I want to just show you, because some of you haven't seen it yet, and I'm still doing it every day for 2.5 years. Over 700 of these I've done under this opening roll-in that, by the way, Pastor Jeanette designed. And also Jesse Sliger did the music for, but... Take a watch of this, because this rolls in. Every one of them start this way. Some of you are familiar with this. You see it. There's our cross. And there's a picture from Haiti. Here's a picture from the Jordan River baptizing in Israel. And then you know where we're at there. And here we're up high, okay? But here it is. Daily encouragement, the root word being courage. And if you look up the word encourage in the dictionary, it says to put courage in. And the metaphor, if you study that out, it's actually like pouring, filling up a glass. It takes an intentional something to encourage somebody. Another part of the definition in the dictionary is to stimulate by assistance or approval. So, encouragement has to be something that we say or something that we do to bring it to pass. The opposite of encourage is discourage. And the dictionary says it's the draining of courage. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of things going on in the world today that are causing people to be drained of their courage. The second part says to deprive of courage, hope, or confidence. And I'm telling you, we come by this naturally. The Bible says in Proverbs, the righteous are as bold as a lion. We have courage. So like in the movie, The Wizard of Oz, you know, remember the lion, you know, that he thought he didn't have courage. But the wizard said, "You've got it. You've got it." And he had to declare that to him and actually pin a medal on him. He said, "You're not thinking right." And I'm saying this to the body of Christ. If you're living in depression or discouragement, and you've lost your courage, you know, you've got it because you've got Christ. You've got the way maker inside of you, the miracle worker inside of you. Nothing's too difficult for God. But see, we've got to be the people that are encouraging one another with that word so that we don't walk around like that lion who, you know, because he had it. He just needed somebody that he trusted and believed in to tell him, You know, he was born as a lion to be the king of the jungle, to be someone of courage. And you've been born again to be somebody of courage. So God instructed Joshua when he was helping him with the keys to get out of the wilderness, where a lot of Christians still living there, and to get into the promised land and start tearing down walls, you know, like Jericho walls, and start defeating the giants and the enemies. He said several times, I gave you the scriptures here, be strong and of a good courage. Let's say it together. Be strong and of a good courage. Say it again. Be strong and of a good courage. Say it again. Be strong and of a good courage. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, sometimes we got to hear it a few times. So God repeated this to Joshua. Joshua, it's time to stop waiting on God to meet all of your needs, give you shoes that don't wear out, provide water, manna, and all that. You got sick of the manna anyway. And go out there and make it happen with your faith. So be strong and of good courage, for the Lord thy God is with you. Hallelujah. So we need to cross over in our thinking and discover this. We are encouragers. We have the voice of God, the word of God, and faith and courage to bring it forth in the world today. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I got this picture from a life group. And our small groups that meet throughout the week at various times, various places, are for friendship, for encouragement, for accountability. And we all need encouragement. Now, I want to just show you what four types of encouragement are. And even today, the song, Jeanette, that you were singing, God is fighting for us. You know, I love that. That's an encouraging word. Pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom. That cannot be shaken. That's us, the kingdom of God. So a lot of the songs that we sing are designed to be words of encouragement for us. But let's go to the word of God, Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement. We see in Acts 4, in the New Testament church was of one heart, one mind. I mean, that's what we're doing here today, building up one another so we can together be strong in the Lord. But there's one man that earned a nickname. That was Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, it says, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, because he knew how to encourage people. And so here we see in Acts 4:37, what I call monetary encouragement. We see it written about Barnabas that he sold a field that he owned and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And, you know, that was encouraging. You know, it's encouraging to me, you know, not for me to get money or offerings, but for this church to get money and offerings, to do what we have to do. I love that. You know, when we present a need, like the roof we put on recently, that's all on there just in time before the rains. Hallelujah. All paid for. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. And many of you, most of you, had a part in that. $200,000. And it was just so amazing to me because, I mean, that was all raised like in just a few weeks. You know, when God's people have a heart and a mind to do something together. And at the same time, I was throwing houses at you in Haiti and helping the people in Ukraine. And, you know, and anytime I feel like, you know, maybe, Pastor, you shouldn't be having so much vision. Then I remember, without a vision, the people perish. And I always tell people, you don't have to give anything. You know, you certainly don't have to give anything that you don't have. And somebody said, well, Pastor, you're just trying to take our money. No, I'm trying to get God's money out of your hands. Whatever God tells you to give. Okay, now watch this. I want to say, be a sacrificial giver. You have to give till it hurts a little bit sometime. Now, even when you give sacrificially, sometimes there's giver's remorse. You know, you drop it in that bucket and you see it go move away from you. You know, then I was inspired. Now, not sure, right? Now you're blessed. That's right. Now you've obeyed God. Now watch what God can do. Monetary encouragement. You know, when I was thinking about that term, I was remembering Jeanette, our son, Stephen, when he took his dog, our house dog, Kai. By the way, Kai in the Hebrew, Kai, it means life. And Stephen gave that dog that name without even knowing that. But we got that little life dog. And he takes responsibility for his dog. And one time he took it to the vet, and it turned out to be a really big vet fee. Now, we pay the vet fees, you know, most of the time. But he still feels responsibility. So he went up to pay this big vet fee on this dog this time, and the lady said, it's paid for. He said, what? She said, yes, somebody in the waiting room here with you paid it. He said, what? He couldn't, he was it? Well, we don't know, you know, just somebody. He came home all excited about that. Monetary encouragement. Such a blessing, you know. And, you know, I like to do this sometimes to perfect strangers. Sometimes when I'm driving through the drive-thru at McDonald's, you know, one of my favorite places, you know. I even take my wife out to dinner there sometimes on the drive-thru so we can spend quality time together, you know. And anyway, if I'm driving through and God says, pay for the guy behind you, I get up there and I just do. And I can only imagine, you know, when they get up there saying, wait a minute, I don't know that guy. You know, he can't pay my bill. Well, he did, you know. I've done that before driving through the Sunshine Skyway tollway. And I'm going to pay the guy behind me, too. And they think he's with you, you know. And he gets up there. I'm watching my rearview mirror then. And the guy's going, I don't know. I don't know him. And then he takes off and tries to catch me, you know, drive up beside me, see what I look like. Yeah. So why do I do that? Well, I just want to do whatever God tells me to do. Is that okay? And I'm only going to do what I'm capable of doing. Can't do what I can't do, but what I can do. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, it's not you. It's me. I'm responsible for what God tells me to do. You're responsible for what God tells you to do. But we see later in the scripture here, too, that Barnabas, the scripture tells us that during the days of Barnabas, that all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Now, maybe we're not quite there yet, but think about what God's putting together in this church family. Not only do we have all the combined skills and abilities of everybody here, but the resources of everybody here, but God's given us this plant and this property, you know, so that we can help others. You know, I've always felt like this would be a city of refuge, you know, like a lighthouse in a time of darkness. If it gets worse, we're going to be more prepared. Foundations being laid even now for darker days. So why not? I want to be relevant. How about you? I want the ministry of the gospel to be relevant to a needy world. And we're going to do everything that we can to prepare for that. And let me tell you something. It's that kind of relevance that gets the world's attention. It even makes the news. The world will call it a random act of kindness. Watch this news report.
A random act of kindness brings an Asheville mom to tears.
As News 13's John Lee explains, one stranger's show of compassion brings the answer to so many prayers.
When you're truly struggling, you can only get so much mileage out of hope. Connie Cole works at an Asheville sub shop, hoping someday she'll breathe easier.
Because I have kids and I've been praying for a miracle.
She's a single mother of three, and deep down, Connie feared her prayers would never be answered.
It's been really hard because my dad's had to take me everywhere, and he just had a knee surgery. And
simply running on empty.
It would just been hard.
But Connie says a random act of kindness renewed her faith.
I thanked him several times, and I cried.
It's a 2004 Chevy Impala. Feels like she won a game show.
I was speechless. I really was.
Desperately needing a car, she called Carolina Auto Sales in Black Mountain on Tuesday. What she didn't know, a stranger overheard the conversation over the speakerphone.
And he said there was something in my voice that the Lord was telling him to help me.
I've never seen anything even close to this happen.
Wesley Gurley owns the car lot.
He said, if she comes in, call me. I'm going to go pray about this. And if the Lord wants me to do something on this, I may buy her that car. And we were pretty shell-shocked over it.
The dealership offered to sell the Impala at cost. Connie's dad pitched in with $800 as a down payment. And David sealed the deal with $2,200.
I'll never forget him.
She was ecstatic, obviously. I mean, you know, crying, the whole deal.
To me, that just means the Lord is out there.
I spoke to the Good Samaritan by phone. David declined an interview, doesn't want a lot of attention about this, but says the kindness that he showed on this lot is an extension of Christ Community Church here in Montreat, looking for ways beyond just Sunday to show compassion and faith.
I'm so emotional. It's hard to even get the words out.
And now that used car is the vehicle for an age-old message.
Keep high hopes, pray, and don't give up.
In Asheville, John Lee, News 13.
Hallelujah.
Well, that stranger,
amen.
David, says he simply followed his heart.
He encourages others to do the same.
He encourages others to do the same. He said, what I was doing, this act of kindness, was just an extension of my church. He said that he wanted to see it as something that, oh, I forget exactly how they said it. I want to declare this over some of you here today, that God has been able to entrust you with smaller amounts, but you're about to be entrusted with a whole lot more. You've been faithful. God knows He can trust you, so He's putting more in your hand so you can be an even bigger blessing to the world around you. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I remember years ago, Jeanette, I know the Cooks aren't here today, but the Cooks, Bill and Barbara Cook, they gave us a gift, not knowing how timely it was. They gave us a free trip to Hawaii. Now, they had acquired frequent flyer miles, so they gave us those free trips or miles, and then they paid for a hotel on the beach, on Waikiki Beach, for a week. And they just gifted it to us. Little did they know that we were going through a really difficult place in our marriage where we had already quit. We were getting a divorce. Now, don't be nervous. We've been married 47 years. And this was about 6 years into our marriage, a long time ago. But we were at the point, you know, that you get where you're done trying. We had hurt each other so bad. We didn't want counseling. We didn't want another Christian telling us that, you know, God could make a way. We were over. It was over. But the Cooks didn't know that when they gave us that free trip. And we thought, well, can't kick a gift horse in the mouth, you know. We better take it, you know. And it was really what the doctor ordered, because we got to that hotel on Waikiki Beach, never went out on the beach. We were in a hotel room for a week talking and listening. And maybe I needed to do more listening. That was my problem, because I was Jeanette's answer man. And whenever she had a problem, I had the answers, you know. But she didn't want answers. She wanted to just know that I cared. And she didn't want me to fix her. She just wanted what I'm going to call in this area of encouragement as caring encouragement. Just caring encouragement. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak, or slow to become angry, caring encouragement. But I just thank the Lord that Bill and Barbara Cook heard from God on that gift to us, not knowing, you know, just how bad it was, because we came back from there willing to dig deeper, and within 3 months, I'm going to say exactly 3 months later, God put within us an affection for each other that we never even had on our wedding day, you know, to sustain us for many more years. And hallelujah, and it keeps getting better and better, right, honey? But I think about that. Somebody cared about us, and Bill and Barbara Cook have this ministry of encouragement, and not only to us, but to others. And amazing, but such a great testimony. But those of you that are married, try that in your relationship, a caring encouragement. But here's Jesus demonstrating this in the story of the woman caught in adultery. It says in John 8, verse 3, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, and by the way, this happened in church, they brought in a woman caught in the act of adultery. And let me tell you something. For all of us, it just comes more natural for us to criticize somebody, even in the house of God, you know, even people that we love, whenever they're down or whenever they're caught up in some failure. But I want to say this, and I want you to hear it clearly. Sin is no problem for God. Let me step on your religious toes and say it again. Sin is not a problem for God because Christ has the remedy for sin. And that's why God wants us to live more redemptive. The goodness of God drawing the people to repentance, because God says, if you'll confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we've not been called to a ministry of judgment or criticism, but rather to encouragement and to help people understand that whatever they're going through is the enemy trying to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundantly, come to set you free. And God's already built into everybody this conscience to know that they need a Savior. But we need to help them understand how to receive Him. So in this story, you know, we know how it goes. Jesus, He didn't get into a debate with the religious scholars. He could have out-debated them. But instead, He just was quiet, knelt down, started writing on the ground. And with His finger, He wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. And then we see in verse 7, when they kept on questioning Him, He lifted up, He stood up, and He said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And the Bible says that one by one, beginning with the oldest, the wisest, the men started dropping their stones and walking away all the way to the last one till they were all gone. The Bible says, being convicted by their own conscience. And then we know how the story goes with Jesus. Jesus asked the woman, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she says, "There's none, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." In other words, receive forgiveness for your sin. God doesn't, He doesn't celebrate, you know, your sin. He still hates sin, but He's got a remedy for sin. And we need to embrace that ministry to help people know that God is a good God, that sin is a result of the enemy's desire to sift you and destroy you. And so I believe that it's important at this time for each one of us to understand this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, say gift of God, there's a gift of God that's available for everyone, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that 1 John 1:8, earlier in that verse, I didn't put the whole verse up there. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Caring encouragement is redemptive. Caring encouragement is redemptive. God always has a way to restore somebody. And what a great opportunity it is for us to be in that ministry. Amen, somebody? Amen. So monetary encouragement, caring encouragement. Let me talk to you about faith talk encouragement. I like the story of Zacchaeus because everybody knew he was a sinner, right? And Jesus knew that everybody knew. But Jesus, when He reached the spot, remember Zacchaeus was short. He wanted to see Jesus, so he climbed a tree, but Jesus called him out. And everybody saw it. And they saw Jesus talking to them. They were listening. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I'm coming to your house for dinner today. And everybody's going, oh, he's a sinner. Well, that's the point. God has called us to bring a redemptive opportunity to sinners. The goodness of God. The message of redemption and the goodness of God. So you see Jesus over at Zacchaeus' house, chatting with him. And, you know, we know the story goes on that Zacchaeus said he's going to return everything that he'd stolen from people. I mean, that was a genuine conversion. But Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Hallelujah. That's faith talk, encouragement. And I really believe, church, that as the world gets darker, you're going to see more people in and out of the church that need this ministry. So we're rising up. We're rising up to be the light of the world, to be the glory of God in these last days. And faith talk, what we hear on a Sunday morning, many times God will bring to your remembrance the very week and put somebody right in your path that needs that exact word. And I love ministering online, you know, ministering through texts and through emails. And I have a number of people that, you know, I speak into their lives. And many times their situation in the natural is really hopeless. But God, but God, but God. I love it when people are in ICU, you know, and the doctors are saying, call your family, you know, there's no hope. And then what do? I don't just console them and say, oh, I'm just so sorry. You know, I don't do that. I say, trust in the Lord with all your might and lean not into your own understanding. We love doctors. They have a medical report, but here's the report of the Lord. You shall live and not die. And you know what? They receive encouragement. They have hope. And you know what? That spiritual hope that starts ministering to your natural body brings health, brings healing. People cannot be healed with all the negativity of a bad diagnosis. So what are you going to do? You're going to neutralize that curse by encouraging them with the Word of God. Faith talk, encouragement. Let me close with one more here, if I can. Be committed to Christian community. Christian community. I'm going to call this relational encouragement. Relational encouragement. Because I said earlier, you know, we're not members of an institution. The Bible says we're members one of another. So we need to get to know one another because we're connected to one another. That's why on Wednesday night, come on out to the youth center. We'll slap a name tag on you and let's get to know everybody by name if we can, okay? So here in Jesus' day, you know, after the stoning of Stephen, the church was scattered, you know, and we're under a lot of persecution. That may be coming for us. But what did they do? Well, they sent Barnabas. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. There's Barnabas, son of encouragement. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Well, what about this? Why did God allow that to happen? Just trust in the Lord with all your mind and all your strength and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will bring it to pass. What are we doing? We're just declaring the truth of God's word. That's faith talk. That's relational encouragement. And God's called us to that. And it's so much needed in the world today. You know, I like to say to those of you that are a part of this church, you have relational equity. I said that to you, Bob and Madeline, Bob and Madeline, recently. They were in the situation like a lot of people. They're, I think the place they were living, the people wanted to sell it, so they had no place to rent. And they were short-term, short time. They didn't have much time to find another place for their family. And they came and asked me if we had any places. And I first said no, because we usually don't. But at that very time, I realized that we did have one place. But I also realized there was a lineup of people that wanted that place. So I looked at the lineup, and I didn't know anybody but them. Now, they came last, but the last shall be first. But they had relational equity. See what I mean? We have relational equity. I've had a banker tell me that before when I was asking him something for the church. He said, yeah, you have relational equity with this bank. You've been with us a long time, and we know how you operate. You have relational. I want to tell you, you have relational equity in this church with me and with one another.
Thank you.
You got that, Gene?
Yes, sir.
And that's why God answered your prayer,
yes,
looking for a place. And now you can actually walk to church.
Amen.
You got a place that close. And God's healing you so you can walk to church.
Yes, sir.
You have relational equity, and we have relational encouragement one with another. And the Bible says, especially to those that are the household of God, God wants us to be there for one another. Amen. I got to wrap this up. But the story of Jesus with the woman at the well is an example of relational encouragement. Remember, Jesus, with one person, he spent time with this woman. And just one person. He could have been speaking to thousands, but with one person, he took the time. And he asked her about her life. Go call your husband and return. And she said, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right when you say that. You've had five of them. And the man you're with is not your husband. She said, whoa, I discern that you're a prophet. But, you know, even maybe this woman didn't seem like she would be, you know, a woman of God. Here, she was a woman of influence. And she got so inspired, she goes back to her town, and many believed because of her testimony. And the Bible says many more believed because they came out to see Jesus, and maybe she reached the whole town. Here's what I want to say about this ministry of encouragement. It has a ripple effect because God is so pleased with it that he engages in the miraculous. When you just do something, let me give you some verses to demonstrate this. Do unto others, and God will do unto you, is what it means. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And watch and see what will happen. Matthew 18, 19. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. It has a ripple effect. It gets God involved. You know, God maybe is doing something, whatever God does, and he's distracted until you obey his word in these areas. And then all of a sudden he's engaged. He commands the blessing where there's unity, it says in Psalms 133. Give and you shall receive. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. You have favor with God and man when you're a giver, Luke 6:38. And then Genesis 12:2 goes all the way back to Abraham. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. It's got a ripple effect. The blessing of God. It just keeps on giving. And we're a part of that kind of ministry. Aren't you glad? My final verse to you, it's in Philippians 2 and verse 3 and 4. And it actually starts out with verse 1. It says, if you have received any encouragement from being united with Christ, then get engaged in the ministry of encouragement. That's what it says. If you've had any comfort from his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, if you've had any tenderness and compassion from God, Apostle Paul says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded as Christ on behalf of others, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And then he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Is that good?
Yes.
Is that good? That's our ministry. Can it get any better than that? Acts 10:38, Jesus was anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost to go about doing good. No big deal, just doing good. Oh, and also healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Yeah, take that, devil. And loving not our lives even unto death. We're dangerous because we don't give a rip. except for what God's business is. Somebody comes and gets in your face like they did to Jesus. And that king said to Jesus, you better answer me because you got to know I've got the power over your life right now. Jesus couldn't be silent anymore. He said, wait a minute. I got to say something to that. You have no power that my Father doesn't give you.
Amen.
Just want to make that point clear. And I'm telling you, every one of us are in that same position. God is fighting for us. And even when you see things happening that you say, well, why would God allow that to happen? Just shove that aside and stay faithful to God. Because we don't always know the purposes of God, the timing of God. God's ways are not our ways. But we want to stay faithful and then watch and see what the Lord will do. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
So, hallelujah. I got to wrap this up. I watch the time, so you don't have to. But just a little recap here. We are encouragers, just one drip at a time. Be a sacrificial giver. Be an attentive listener. Be the voice of faith. Be committed to Christian community. That was my message to you today. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, it's got to be intentional, folks. You can't just think about doing good in this area of encouragement. I'm going to ask God to put somebody on your mind right now that needs your encouragement. It might be under your own roof. In fact, I want you to think about encouraging three people a day, every day, three people. Just set the bar for yourself. Think of this intentionally because it's not going to happen just out of a good heart thinking good about somebody. But the moment you tell them that you think good about them, the moment you encourage them in the midst of their struggle, the blessing is going to come from heaven. The miracles are going to follow. I want you to stand with me today. And I ask them to, what are we going to play? God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness in the name of Jesus.